A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, I just start, don't I?
Yeah. You've forgotten, haven't you?
Boom, boom, boom. Let me hear you say podcast.
Podcast.
Yeah, we're back, guys. Thanks for your patience while I moved home and Dave moved air through his passageways more cleanly as a result of having a sinus operation.
Yes, it's worth saying I did flag this up to the patrons, the fwoof pats. But just to catch you up here on Maine, we were supposed to be away for 2 weeks, and then the night before we were supposed to come back, I realised the scheduled recording time was in fact the time I would be under general anaesthetic, so it felt unwise to proceed with the recording. And I had the option of cancelling one, and I opted for the surgery that's been scheduled for 18 months, which I feel like was the sensible way to go, don't you?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So apologies for that. We've had the extra week off, but luckily it fell sort of in the middle of a bit of a breakoid anyway. And we are back.
We're back, guys.
Got a couple of housekeeping bits first. And I'm going to make sure I pronounce this right, because the entire point of the message is the pronunciation of their name. Evelyn, who requested an episode, I think, 2 weeks ago. And I say 2 weeks, Pete, I mean 2 episodes ago. So right. 4 to 5 weeks. Yeah, give or take. Hey, thanks for doing my episode request and using my preferred pronouns. But my name is pronounced Evelyn, not Evelyn. Don't worry, though, everyone gets it wrong. So, apologies.
We were so focused on the pronouns, Dave, we got the fucking name wrong.
We don't have the capacity, Evelyn, to take in so much information in one message. We are very sorry. And I'm glad that everybody gets... No, hang on, right. I'm not glad that everybody gets it wrong, but I'm glad that we haven't caused offence, you know?
Yeah.
So there you go. That's a bit of housekeeping one. Evelyn, we shall never forget and pronounce you Evelyn ever again. Everlyn again. Everlyn again.
That's Evelyn also, again.
Evelyn again. Evil again. Evil again. Evil again? No, that's a whole different thing, isn't it? And actually, this is just sort of flag up really advertorial breaks in our podcast, Pete. Mark said, not going to lie, lads, wasn't expecting a targeted ad for the farm foods round the corner from my house during my favourite weekly friends-based podcast. Christ, that's some
really specific, isn't it?
Stuff, isn't it? Yeah. That is nuts. Has anyone else had a more terrifying advert experience with this podcast? Because obviously we have no control of the adverts. I'd like to say to Mark and anyone, that's not us, is it, Pete?
Yeah, that's not on us.
We have no control over that. The overlords do that.
Acast overlords, isn't it?
Pete Becker puts those in.
Yeah.
Moss, 3-2, whatever it is. But we can't do that. But yeah, has anyone else had a more specific targeted advert?
It is always odd because you're used to them being like national adverts or even sometimes global adverts, and then a localized one kicks in, like for a uni course that I live near the campus. I got one of those the other day.
That's quite terrifying, frankly, isn't it? But there you go. We move and we'll crack on with what I will call a request, Pete.
Hang on.
Oh no, hang on. Have I forgotten the format?
Would you like? Well, it would be Guess the Beverage.
Oh, yeah, Guess the Bev.
I knocked the majority of the beverage over my rug.
If you are a new listener to this podcast, I promise very shortly we do talk about Friends. And we're very aware of just being two white guys talking about shit. But an ongoing feature of this podcast has become a game called Guess the Beverage, where Pete usually sips something and I guess whether it's Pepsi Max or not. And today, apparently, we have a variant on that format. So would you like to tap the empty vessel?
Yeah, hang on.
The empty vase? Oh, that's a can. That's a can. That's a Diet Coke can.
Be specific.
Diet Coke caffeine free.
Correct. Really
nice.
I could hear the
gold. I could hear the gold.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad my senses are still tuned into the game after our little break, Pete.
Now do you want to do a request?
I would, Peter. Would you like a request?
I mean, literally just asked for one, but yeah.
I know, but the format is normally that I ask you if you want a request.
Oh,
so you
yeah,
asked
fine.
If I wanted to do a request, so now I'm enacting the usual format. Anyway, here's the request. It's from Chloe. Hi, Dave and Pete. I'm originally from Wales, but now live in Sydney, and it's a joy to listen to you on my drive to and from work. So Chloe has moved from Wales to New South Wales, Pete. I wonder if that was deliberate. Or, as is more likely, just a coincidence because she wanted to get to Australia. Yeah. But we'll never know. My request is the one with the metaphorical tunnel. When I saw the title, I couldn't remember the plot, but it has some great moments. I'm such a fan of Ross, but sadly this episode is classic problematic Ross. But I love that Carol, Susan, Monica and Rachel aren't having any of it. And the takedown at the end by Monica with Carol and Susan is great. And I agree that Susan is one of the best characters. Tick, big tick, Chloe. I love Monica and she's great in this episode. I love that she has good lines in every plot. And Phoebe pretending to be Joey's agent is hilarious. And we get Janice, who is great. Thank you for the pod, Chloe.
So I say thank you for the pod.
The thing I'm recording. Oh, thank you very much, Chloe. Anyway, do you know what I'm going to tell you before I read this synopsis out? What episode number is this? I think we worked it out the other week, didn't we? We're honing in on 200, aren't we?
Yeah.
I cannot believe we haven't done this episode yet.
Well, I can. Do you mean you're so incredulous about this that you'd like me to consult the spreadsheet to make sure it's not a mistake?
No. I think this is one absolutely superb. Is it a Jack plot? I feel like the Ross Ben. Yeah, I think it is a Jack plot.
But you know what? Like the bit that makes the Ross plot worth it in the end
is the
whole B bit.
Yeah, the B and Susan really reveling in it, you know?
Yeah, like the moment I saw Ross react to Ben having a Barbie, I was like, oh, I can't be honest with this storyline. But the payoff eventually is good.
He gets his just desserts, doesn't he, at his tea party?
Yeah.
I think this is a Jack plot where all three plots are genuinely enjoyable. And all three plots for me have like at least one solid gold scene in them.
Yeah, okay.
And I really like this episode. Here's the synopsis, basically, before we crack into it. Season 3, episode 4, the one with the metaphorical tunnel. Production code 465254.
Yeah, I love it.
Don't mind that. Phoebe pretends to be Joey's agent and has some success in getting him auditions, but the initial rush soon wears off when she's forced to tell him why he's always being turned down. Ben brings a Barbie doll that he's been personally picked for himself over the weekend with Ross. This bothers Ross, who tries to get him to give up Barbie in favour of G.I. Joe. And Chandler is advancing his relationship with Janice and, realising his fear of commitment, seeks advice from the friends. Where do you want to start in this Jack plot of an episode, Peter?
Well, given we've already done a bit of Ross.
Bit of Ross?
Let's finish the Ross bit.
There's not actually a huge amount of Ross, is there? That's the sort of... I have the fewest thoughts about Ross, so I think that's a good place to start. I mean, it's very 2024 of Ben to get a Barbie doll. I bet he's got a bloody Oppenheimer doll around there as well.
And of Ross to embrace drag at an early age.
Yes, absolutely.
I love how both Susan and Monica are reveling in... this. I also, there's something very siblingy around how, like, casually Monica is enjoying throwing him under the bus.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, just wandering around, eating her ice cream, taking the piss, embarrassing him, reveling in it. Really good.
And you also get the sense that she's been saving up this bit until Carol and Susan get back home. You know, so she can say it in front of them. Like, she could have brought up the Ross B tea party thing with Rachel earlier on, you know, quite early on in the storyline, but I get the feeling that she is literally waiting for the opportune moment to really bring him down a peg or two. And you're right, that is absolute peak sibling energy, isn't it?
I also love the idea that the writers had the idea of doing this old school home video over the credits Ross's B, I drink tea. Although I do think Child Ross dressed as B is surprisingly old, given the story that we were told.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be like 4 or 5, but that kid's like 12.
And then Monica maybe appearing afterwards to mop up is really good too.
That's perfect, isn't it? I'm also very bad at judging like children's ages. Like I've just said, he could be 12. He could be 4. I don't know.
I reckon Ross there is about
9.
I was going to say 8.
Very close to 9, famously.
It is famously, yeah.
I am bad at judging children's ages. All my friends' kids could be anywhere between 2 and 10, I reckon.
And I can give guessing you anyone's age is a challenge.
It really is these days, Peter. I tell you what, you've got people that you think are 40 that are 60, and people you think are 60 are 38. Vice versa.
Aging badly, I'll be honest.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? That's also coincidentally my new age.
38 or 60?
Yeah. 38. I had my birthday in our gap as well.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
Crikey, yeah, we've got a lot to catch up on, haven't we?
Happy birthday, mate.
Thank you. Went to Cornwall to watch Jonathan Creek, as is tradition.
To watch it?
Yeah, I've
telly. Oh, you made it sound like a live performance.
No, there's an episode of Jonathan Creek for the Jonathan Creek fans, Jack in a Box. It's like the second main episode after the 2-part pilot. And it's set in this amazing house on a cliff in Cornwall, which is available to rent. And we now go there. And every time we go there every year, we watch the episode in the room where it's set. So you get like Alan Davis in the room that you're currently sitting. It's kind of weird and trippy.
Yeah, it is weird.
And also quite scary at night because it's very much about a murder.
Some episodes of Jonathan Creek are really fucking like scary. It's
terrifying. Absolutely.
I remember one of someone like sliding off a wooden thing and under some water. It's like some sort of device that they...
In a bath, Pete.
Yes. Like a trap door in a bath.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, giving away some spoilers there of a mystery solved, but... You're absolutely right. No, that's fine. I mean, I think it's fairly safe. And the statute of limitations on Jonathan Creek spoilers is well and truly over, surely. Yeah, that is absolutely terrifying, actually. I don't like having baths after watching that episode. So there you go. Anyway, back to Ross Geller. I mean, this is, as Chloe says, absolutely terrible, Ross, isn't it? He's so upset by the idea that his son is playing with what is traditionally seen as a girl's doll. And he's to the point where, like, let's face it, for all his faults, Ross is a fairly liberal fella, right? You know? But he would rather push on military toys on his son, you know? Protecting oil overseas.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing, mate? Absolute insanity. Give him a Barbie, get him prepared. When 2024 comes around, he's going to be cool as fuck.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, as has been pointed out, the payoff at the end is delicious. Susan's "I don't think I've ever been happier" line is so enjoyable.
I also love Ross's "oh God" when he realizes.
He's so convinced, isn't he, of his own sort of stance on this situation. And then when it suddenly realizes what's happened, the absolute sort of internal downfall of Ross's brain is a sight to behold. And then obviously he can't resist completing the lyric that Monica can't remember as well. It just brings out all the best and worst in Ross, and it's very enjoyable to watch. And we actually get a little flashback to, I don't know, I don't want to dig too deeply into this, Pete, but how has Ross gone from a boy that's happy to cross-dress and throw imaginary tea parties in his childhood to someone so deeply repressed that he can't imagine his son playing with a Barbie?
Insecurity, like, that is, isn't it?
Some shit's gone down and we are not qualified to analyse it. But there you go. The only last thing I'd like to say about this before we move on is in that bit at the end when Monica's giving away the BT thing, did you notice what Ross was drinking?
No.
A strawberry and kiwi drink, Pete. Kiwi. Oh.
Aren't you allergic to kiwi?
Well, Ross is, not me.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Are you talking to me as if I'm Ross Geller?
I just, a bell rang somewhere in my brain about allergies to kiwi.
Yes, hence my point of bringing it up. Ross Geller famously allergic to kiwi.
Yeah.
Imagine my point had been, Ross Geller was drinking a kiwi drink and I, Dave Cribb, am allergic to kiwi.
I think kiwi flavoured drink is quite rogue.
I don't think I've ever had a kiwi flavoured drink.
Isn't one of those fancy, like, ciders kiwi, strawberry and
lime. You're quite right, and a lot of those green smoothies have kiwi in it actually. My girlfriend is allergic to kiwi as well, so you weren't.
So is my sister.
You really? God, the kiwi allergies, they hide amongst us, don't they, Pete?
They do, they bloody do. Very relatable issue.
Right, Phoebe the agent or Chandler's commitment issues?
Let's do Chandler.
Let's do the metaphorical tunnel. I think so. My absolute favourite scene of this, the Susan scene in Ross storyline. You know, I said every plot has a great scene in it. I love the supermarket scene between Chandler and Janice so much in this storyline, and particularly him grabbing the bag of barley.
Yeah.
And Janice saying, what kind of party serves barley? I think is one of the funniest lines in all of Friends.
Yeah, and a barley party.
Barley party. The whole thing's leading up to that. Are you being British? Not anymore. Whose party? We're here in Chelsea? Whose party? Chelsea? Just the whole sequence, I think, is absolutely amazing. And it's also worth flagging, as we always do, guess what Janice is doing in this episode, Pete?
What's she doing?
Yeah, being a completely reasonable and normal human being.
Oh, yeah. Like, she's sort of... When Chandler's talking about how absolutely okay he is with these sort of gestures of commitment.
Yeah.
Like, the drawer. The way he presents her with the drawer is quite sweet and quite quirky. And then, obviously, he goes too far and starts talking about, like, moving
trips with her parents, yeah.
But, yeah, like, her... The point at which she... freaks out, I think, is the reasonable point to freak out.
Agreed.
And he quite literally scares her away. Like, she leaves her dinner behind on the table and everything.
100%. I mean, what he's done in both cases here, both with this first bit of advice from Joey, which is quite good advice in the context Joey was trying to give it, I think, which is just try and be committed, you know, try and go for it and push through your fear. And I think Chandler hit the perfect point with the contact paper, brackets, what's contact paper? We'll come on to that in a minute.
I have literally written that same question.
And the drawer. And I think at that point, he's hit that perfectly because she basically goes, that's so sweet. What a lovely gesture. And then some wire just goes loose in his brain and he just turns into an absolute psychopath, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what is contact paper, Pete?
Do you want me to find out the answer?
Yeah, please.
Is
you hear contact paper and you think like letter writing paper.
Yeah. Oh, it looks blue.
But why would
it?
You put that in a drawer?
What is contact paper?
It's like it's stuff you line a drawer with.
Vinyl.
Like, yes, and I've actually got a roll of
contact paper is in its sticks when it makes contact with something.
I've got a roll of it in my hallway.
Like we used to put on exercise books at school.
Yeah, exactly. Contact paper. Is that what it's called? I wouldn't
remember. People used
that.
To wrap their exercise books in like wrapping paper.
Yeah, that was mad, wasn't it? I bet kids don't use exercise books anymore, do they? Probably just use holograms and stuff.
Probably can't even write these days, can
Probably
they?
Probably can't, can
What's
they?
What's a pen, they all say.
They'll just all be on TikTok teleporting around school. Okay, that's good. That's good to know. I've never known what contact paper is. And no, understandable now that Janice is a bit bemused when Chandler gives her some.
And having a romantic dinner while sat at the foosball table.
Yeah, absolutely. And then again, so he goes too far with that advice from Joey. And then Monica and Rachel's advice is a little bit more contrived. I'm not a big fan of games in this sort of situation, Pete, but they do sort of say bump into her and act aloof. And I feel like whilst that is a bit of game playing, again, it could have worked had he not taken that advice and then in his head turned it into bump into her and act like the world's biggest fucking bizarre man. For 5 minutes and obviously scare
there's
her
a
off
few
again.
Plans that they have to deal with this, like they're acting all mean and distant, like that's their plan at one point where it seems to be like an early reference to ghosting, doesn't it? But then actually ghosting while also still wanting the person that you're attempting to ghost. It's all a bit counterintuitive.
Correct. Yeah, I actually think strangely Monica and Rachel's advice in this episode is much the worse than Joey's, which is basically face your fear and crack on with it. And what they should have probably come to, because Chandler's clearly terrible at this, they should have probably come to a solution where he just has a conversation with Janice, I guess.
Yeah.
Like he ends up doing, and that would have been fine. But they have to do all this dancing around. But I do really enjoy the scene where, this is another quotable line for me fairly regularly, Joey's, you're afraid of bugs? Get a bug.
Yeah, yeah, that is good.
Really, really makes me laugh. And then Rachel's bit as well when they're consoling her, and she's like, honey, you're not a total loser.
There's a couple of good Rachel. There's a bit when she's talking to Ross and she uses the milk device.
Oh, I love that. Actually, we haven't talked about the milk master, have but we?
The way that she punctures the milk carton with it,
yeah,
gets a really big laugh and even some applause.
Yeah, agreed. I know. It's a good little callback to the advert.
She just kind of uses it to emphasize her point, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's because she's using the milk master from the infomercial, isn't it, at the start of the episode? Yeah. But which I love. This is when I first put this episode on and sort of went, I can't believe we haven't done this. I think the milk master infomercial thing with Joey / Kevin is one of the greatest Friends bits as well.
There's got to be a so better fun. Way.
And there is, Kevin.
The character of Kevin feels very much just like Joey.
Yeah, I'd say he's very similar in many ways, you know? Mm-hmm. Most of the time, if I buy some milk, I will say in my head, now I can have milk every day.
Christ.
A sneezer either?
Sorry, everyone.
That's the sort of thing that we would normally edit out, but we've referred to it, so we can't.
Mm.
Do you usually sneeze in threes?
Sneezy is one of the dwarves in the Dwarves reference. Yeah. I love that line. Sleepy, stop naming dwarves.
Stop naming dwarves. So yes, to sum up, Chandler somehow manages to get through this. And then, to be fair, Monica and Rachel clearly just used to having terrible, terrible relationships with awful men, because they basically conclude this plot with, this would never happen if this was a man. Like, you're very lucky, which I think Chandler is, given how he's behaved, that he manages to sort of pull this relationship back from the brink. And luckily, as we know, Chandler and Janice go on to live happily ever after.
Absolutely. I also looked on at that giant tub of ice cream and thought, God, I'd love to smash my way through that.
I was thinking exactly that. I don't think we have ice cream tubs that big here.
No, that's like a bucket.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen one.
We'd have like the rectangular plastic tubs instead.
That's about as big as you get. And that just doesn't seem as interesting to me, you know?
No.
Do you know what I actually thought I might buy recently, Pete? And this plays into this. A chest freezer.
Nice. I think that's something a 38-year-old would do.
Right?
My parents really have a chest freezer.
Stage of my life where I want a chest freezer.
Mm.
I think I might get into that, Pete.
Nice. This get into the chest freezer game.
Well, absolutely. Not. I won't get into the chest freezer, though. That's dangerous.
No, don't do that, no.
Let's have some adverts for, inevitably, ice cream and chest freezers.
Here at Curry's, we're...
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love.
Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back. Your chest freezer will be with you in 7 to 10 working days. Please.
That's quite a long wait.
I don't know how long a chest freezer takes me. Is it like a sofa, which takes a comically a long amount of time? Have you ever bought a sofa?
It's insane. It's like, yeah, you'll have it in 9 months.
Yeah. What the fuck is wrong with them? There's one in the shop. I'll just have that. I don't care. I go to Sainsbury's and go, can I have some eggs? And they're like, cool, I'll let the chickens know. And
the farmer the chicken you're getting your eggs from hasn't yet been bought.
Right. We'll and then the farmer's going to bring them in a few weeks, and then you can have them. What sort of mad bloody business model are you running, sofa shops? Oh, I didn't know I was that angry about that, Pete, but there you go. Good to get worked up about sofas every now and then. I need a new sofa, actually. I think that's where my anxiety is coming from. I'm going to have to deal with those charlatans.
What happened to your current one?
It's just a bit saggy.
Okay.
In the middle. I feel like it's losing some of its life.
Do you normally sit in the middle of it?
No, I sort of move around. But this week especially has been a highlight because in my surgery recovery period, I basically Joey and Chandler'd into the lazy boy kind. You know, I've just sat in one space constantly and started to find it's not as comfortable as once it was.
Okay.
So there you go. That's the exciting update. Again, another 38-year-old update for Dave Cribb.
I'm fine with it. I asked.
I know. But, you know, it's just it's a sign of the times, isn't it? The sort of things I get excited about these days. Should we move on to Phoebe?
Yeah. There's a story behind Matt LeBlanc's arm being in a sling, isn't there?
Yes, he broke it in IRL, didn't he?
Yeah. Filming Friends
when him and Chandler were jumping for the chair in the one where no one's ready.
Yeah, I remember. Because there's an outtake of it, isn't there?
Exactly. Then they had to write it into the next episode that he had fallen off the bed. So he could continuously have his arm in a sling.
Yeah.
They're quite good at doing that, to be fair, aren't they? That one's a bit easier, but like it happened with Phoebe when Lisa Kudrow got pregnant, you know? They just wrote an entire storyline for episodes and episodes. I know that's literally their job, but it must have derailed their original plot, you know?
And they've just gone. Are you suggesting that the writers of Friends are quite good at their job?
I don't know. It's starting to sort of come into focus that maybe they knew what they were doing.
Yeah, it does feel a bit like that.
Very bizarre. I'll tell you what, they do know what they're doing in this storyline, because I think on first watch, the idea that Phoebe could just pretend to be an agent by calling someone up and being confident seems far-fetched. But you and I know, Pete, that this entire industry is entirely based on confidence and blagging, isn't it? That would completely work. I think the only thing stopping me doing this and becoming a very successful agent is my crippling fear of talking to human beings on the telephone.
Yeah, I do also really like the Caitlin's voice that Phoebe puts on.
Yes. Yes, the assistant and then the agent and all the different bits.
Yeah. And I just think how sort of on the spot she creates this whole story around Estelle, ex-husband, burning a flat down, that kind of thing.
Yeah, as Chandler says, it's quite terrifying as well as impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
Did you think of Come Dine With Me at any point in this episode?
No. Why would I have done?
Because when Joey says she doesn't talk to normal people, she only talks to agents. And Phoebe says, what a sad little life she must lead. The first thing I thought of was sad little life, Jane, for some reason. I wondered if you had the same thought, but there you go. Never mind. So Phoebe took the message originally. That's where we start. Forgot to tell Joey about his audition and manages to get him one back. And then basically the crux of this is Phoebe's an excellent agent, isn't she? Because she just talks the talk and seems to sort of slot into this, I'd say, quite high-profile industry, you know, show business in New York. Theatre in New York. Famously, they're quite good at it there.
No, she can blag it, yeah. She's
absolute. She's Chelsea blagger, isn't she? And then he keeps getting rejected, doesn't he? And then we get these couple of scenes where Phoebe has to basically read out these lists of reasons Joey gets rejected from Jobs, which are some of my absolute favourite bits of this episode. I think this is my favourite bit of this plot. Like I say, a good scene in each one. His, I kind of work on you accente and all those bits.
And then what about not being believable as a human being?
Honestly, these all enter my regular vocabulary. I have pretty but dumb or pretty dumb or anything. If anything's pretty anything, that reminds me of this scene constantly. And I also say, just as I suspect, quite often in sort of day-to-day life. And I hadn't quite realised how much until I rewatched this episode. This honestly, I think this episode, Chloe, fucking smashing request. Thank you for bringing this to the table, because I love everything about this episode. I've got almost no notes, Pete.
No, I know what you mean. I just sort of was quite merrily watching it.
Yeah, it's really good. It's like really good era of Friends when they're properly in their stride. None of the actors have gone off the rails yet. It's not all getting a bit weird back behind the scenes with negotiations. The writing's not gone a bit bizarre. I think mostly this is pretty solid and like great storylines. Everyone's good. And like we say, the only potential issue you could flag is Ross being weird about the Barbie, but that's absolutely worth it for the fact he gets his pants absolutely pulled down at the end.
Would you say that there's only one way that Chloe could improve upon this request, and it would be to send a quiz?
I would, Pete. Should we have a sting and build some jeopardy into this moment?
Yeah, well, we've got to do last week's quiz, last month's quiz.
Oh, Lydia's quiz that we couldn't access because she sent just after we recorded that, and forgot to give us access to the file.
Yeah, so we know we've got that quiz, but will we have Chloe's quiz?
But do we find have a out Chloe quiz?
In a moment.
Hey, Pete.
Yes.
Do we have two quizzes?
Yes, we do.
Oh, my God.
Which one do you want first?
I think let's do this one while I remember it.
Okay.
This week's Ready? Episode. Yes, please. Chloe's quiz.
Lovely orange and white theme to it, by the way.
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
To the presentation. What is the name of the other guy in the infomercial?
Oh, that's really good and annoying. I don't know off the top of my head. What is it?
Mike.
Oh.
Question two. What game are Phoebe and Chandler playing when Phoebe takes the message from Joey's agent about his audition?
Hide and seek.
Correct. Question three. What does Janice put on Chandler's plate that makes him freak out?
Tomatoes? No.
No. Chicken piccata.
Chicken, and then she takes the tomatoes. That's annoying.
Question four. What does Janice have to buy when Chandler gets her the draw?
What does Chandler have to buy? Is it contact paper?
What does Janice have to buy when Chandler gets her the draw?
I don't know. What?
Think about the wording. What does Janice say that she has to buy?
A vowel.
Yeah, correct. Question five. What flavour of ice cream is Chandler eating, not the one Monica and Rachel eat?
French vanilla.
Is correct.
I just noted that because I thought that was a fucking weird flavour.
It's a very specific type of vanilla, isn't
it? Yeah. Was a French vanilla pod taste much different to a American or English vanilla pod, I wonder?
That sounds like a very ignorant British way of looking at vanilla ice cream.
Absolutely. Dave. Pathetic, eh?
Right. Would you like a quiz about an episode that we haven't watched for several weeks?
Yeah. So this is, as I said, Lydia, who requested maybe the last episode, but didn't send us the quiz to the last minute and then didn't give us access to the Google file. So now we have all those things. I can't even remember what episode this is. So just go blind in, Pete, and see what happens.
It's the one with the birthing video.
Okay, yeah. The one with the birthday video, as I definitely deliberately uploaded it to the internet as a test.
Season 8, episode 15. Right, you ready for the quiz?
Yeah.
Here we go. What type of food did Gunther offer to Joey in the opening scene?
I knew it was going to be a stupid quiz like this where I'd barely get this if I'd just watched the episode. A muffin?
Red bagels.
Red bagels.
I had a bagel today, but it wasn't red.
Was it nice?
In the candy and cookie birthing video, what was the father's name?
No idea.
He was also called Cookie.
Yeah.
You'll get this one. What does Joey name the dog?
Mozzarella.
Correct. What did it say on the tiny t-shirt that Mona bought for the baby?
I can't remember now.
Fossils are my friends.
Oh, fine.
Lydia, by the way, you've gone to a wonderful effort with this presentation, and I'm the only one that can see it, but it's lovely. What did Ross say most people think saltwater taffy is made from?
Real salt water or something? Or real salt? Something?
Close. Seawater, but it's actually made from salted fresh water.
There we go. Oh, well, it's not a surprise.
Hang on, there's another question.
Oh, Christ, all right.
What does Chandler say he loves when he thinks Monica bought him porn?
Huh?
St. Valentine.
St. Valentine.
And Lydia's quiz ends with the slide that says, thanks, FWF dads.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, kids.
No, we're not. That's not a thing.
No. Thank you for the quiz. Sorry we didn't do it last week, and sorry I absolutely bombed at it.
Do you want to know what next week's episode is?
Yes, please.
Well, hold that thought.
Are you not entirely prepared for the question you just offered to me?
No, I am now. Okay. We are going to season 5, yes. Episode 6, yes. The one with the Yeti.
Yes, T.
Yeti.
Yeti. Great. Well, I'll see you and the Yeti next week.
Bye.
Bye.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.